Hey, welcome to Comic Culture, the radio show of the champions, the local comic book shop. We're broadcasting at 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio, podcasting at comicbookdaily.com and getthepointradio.com. I am Walter DeRaglia, Cub Scout reporter for Comic Book Daily.
And I am Chris Owen, I don't know,
man of
many talents.
International man of mystery.
Apparently one of my talents isn't thinking about things on the fly.
Tongue-tied Chris Owen. Listen, I've seen you hog-tied,
Chris. That is not a pretty
sight. Not very often tongue-tied.
No. Well, how are you?
I'm good, Chris.
I feel like I haven't talked to you in about 4 months.
You know what? You talked to me yesterday.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I regretted it.
Hey, we have been off for about 4 months due to the... I think it was a petition.
The court orders have finally allowed us to start.
Yeah, so we're finally clear.
Yeah.
Apparently, it wasn't our fault.
No, thank goodness.
So we're back for another fun-filled season. I have a bit of sad news for our fans because you know what the sad part about it is, Chris? You and I being the talent of the show.
Talent.
All the emails coming in over the summer on where the hell's the show?
Yeah.
We're going, hey, I need more Shecky.
More Shecky.
More Shecky.
You know, those are two words I never thought it would go together.
Yeah, neither did I.
I mean, and besides the word, the restraints going on the end of it.
So Shecky Feldstein is ill.
Ill.
Week. So he sends his regrets and sends his love to all his fan. He said he'll be back next.
Oh, okay, all right. Well, that's good. That's good to hear. Good to hear.
So, sorry. Go. You go.
No. After you.
I insist.
No, after you.
Okay.
Listen, I was just going to ask you, how are you?
I'm doing good.
Good. Listen, that's great. Listen, we've got a show to talk to you about comic books today. So one of the things we'd like to do for our new listeners, you know, new school year, new listeners, hopefully. Yeah. One of the things we like to talk about at the beginning of the show is comics that are coming out in the newsstands today. This is, of course, Comic Culture. We talk about all things comic book related. Mm-hmm. So put your pens and pencils down. Put down your calculator. Listen to us for half a second.
You know what? The prof can wait.
Prof can wait.
You know what? I'm sure his seminar is online somewhere. Don't worry about it.
You know, if there's one thing I know about profs, it's that somewhere that lecture's online.
That's right.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, we do have to talk about New This Week. So New This Week is brought to you by...
It's brought to you by Comic One Comics in Stony Creek. Our friends Paulo, Casey, and...
Bob.
Bob. Yeah. So we're because comic book, what's the show called again?
Comic Culture.
Thank you.
Yep.
Chris, stay there.
Hey, no problem. I'm right here.
Comic Culture champions the local comic book show.
That's right.
So every now and then, I think we should plug local comic book
shops. Yeah, that is a great idea.
Yeah.
You know what? Why didn't we start doing this 8 years ago?
Shecky Feldstein is in charge of trying to get sponsors for the flip.
I know.
Because Shecky Feldstein, really,
fine,
and that's should stop.
I get it.
So anyway, the boys at Comic One are doing great work down in Stony Creek, servicing the area beautifully. So if you're in the area, stop by Comic One Comics, Stony Creek.
Perfect. All right. Listen, let's talk about New This Week.
All right.
And I got to start with, this is quickly becoming my favorite new comic. All-Star Batman by Snyder and Romita Jr.
Hold on.
Yep.
Hold on.
I'm holding.
So I'm gonna prove to you my worth.
Good luck.
Okay.
But go ahead.
Now, this Snyder kid.
Yep.
And this Romita kid.
Yep.
I'm not sure about Romita, but definitely Snyder.
Yep.
In the New 52, Snyder was penning the flagship Batman title.
Correct.
Right.
Correct.
Court of Owls, all that stuff.
Yep. Yep.
That was Snyder.
That was Snyder.
Is this the same Snyder?
Same Scott Snyder.
Okay.
Yep. Same Scott Snyder. And this is John Romita Jr.
He wasn't on.
He was not on. Okay. That was Greg Capullo that was on the Batman. Right. Yes. Now, John Romita Jr. is an artist that not everybody cares for. I like him. Mm-hmm. However, having said that, you know, I liked his stuff in when he was on X-Men years ago, mm-hmm. and then when he was doing Daredevil years ago, and then, you know, he was with Marvel for a long time. Obviously, his father is John Romita Sr. of Spider-Man fame, who drew Spider-Man for like
John, I am your father
for like 200 issues.
Yes.
So you know,
hey, what was John Romita's first issue of Amazing Spider-Man?
Oh, I'm going to say number 28.
39.
Oh, yeah. So close.
Ditko did 1 to 38.
Okay.
And then there was that 39-40, that classic, 39 is that classic blue-hued cover of the Green Goblin flying on that little Green Goblin mobile thing in
yep,
the air.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he's got Spider-Man kind of
all tied up, yeah. And he's sort of dragging him along in the air.
Classic cover.
So John Romita Jr. Now, sometimes he's not for everybody.
Uh-huh.
His work on Superman I wasn't a fan of. However, I got to say that I don't know if it's Danny Meekie's inking that's doing it, but this is a very nice-looking book. The art, I love the art. The inking in it is fantastic. I love the story.
Let me check Danny Meekie's inking.
It's really good. He really makes John Romita Jr. look really good.
Awesome. Hey, excuse me. This is part of the DC Universe Rebirth.
Right.
All-Star Batman number 2 is available at your local comic book shop.
Perfect. All right. Next up, we have Wonder Woman number 6. This is now Wonder Woman is an odd book because it's bi-monthly. So it's written by the same guy. So it's written by Greg Rucka, but mm-hmm. there's two different issues. This one...
Hold on, Chris. Again, I'm going to...
Two different storylines, I should say.
I'm going to stop you.
Yep.
Semi-monthly and bi-monthly. I always get the two confused.
Okay. I should say this is bi-weekly.
Oh, okay. Because I thought bi-monthly is every 2 months.
It is. You're right. Sorry. I misspoke.
Okay.
So this is bi-weekly.
Right.
Two issues a month. Comes right. out
because people listen to you, Chris, and they would have yeah, they would have that and come back 2 months later.
They would have been ticked off at me.
Yeah, say hey,
sorry.
Number 4. Oh,
you're right.
What?
You're
we're
right.
up to number 17, pal.
You're right.
Oh, that Owen. Owen.
Yeah. This one. So this one is bi-weekly, and so every 2 weeks, an issue of Wonder Woman comes out.
Mm-hmm.
Two different storylines.
Oh.
One is sort of about like. You know, like a more of your traditional Wonder Woman kind of story, and the other one's a little bit more about Steve Trevor.
Oh, okay.
So
why wouldn't they do just two different titles?
Well,
Wonder Woman, Steve Trevor.
With the Rebirth, uh-huh. yeah, I think with the Rebirth, they're trying. I think eventually it'll probably meld into one book. Eventually, is the way I'm guessing, but they're trying to like incorporate two different storylines
right.
as it's going along, right?
Okay. All right, with a great Frank Cho cover, by the way.
Frank Cho cover. Now, of course, that's number 6. Mm-hmm. So there was a big uproar over the internet over the past few months about Frank Cho doing the covers.
Mm-hmm.
There was some controversy. He had signed on initially to do 12 issues,
mm-hmm.
or it could have even been 24. I don't remember now. Anyway, a lot of issues for the variant covers, but he was told he would have no editorials, no editors coming in and
yeah,
talking
no
about it.
No restrictions.
And I guess there started to be some restrictions and stuff going on.
I think
so.
I mentioned it to you before. There's that great image online of the Frank Cho Wonder Woman sketch cover
yep.
where she's kind of turning around, looking down her back, looking at her derriere,
yeah,
and you know her word bubble is Frank. Why does Frank Cho have to draw my ass so wide?
Yeah,
I like Adam Hughes.
Yeah.
He draws my ass thin.
You know? Well, you know Frank Cho. So he thinks of Wonder Woman as being an Amazon,
right?
So he draws her a little bit thicker,
voluptuous,
you know.
Call it.
And
yeah.
one of the straws that broke the proverbial camel's back was uh-huh. a few issues ago. There was a cover that had Wonder Woman, her skirt was lifted up a little bit, and you saw a tiny bit of her underwear.
Whoa,
and
wow.
so that was censored, so it was kind of cut off, so you didn't see that part, and
right.
that was sort of like, you know.
That's it.
That's
done.
But you know what? In reality, are we supposed to think that, you know, she doesn't wear underwear?
Commando?
Is that better? Is that better that we think
now,
that?
Now you've thrown me off the whole show.
Oh, I'm sorry. All right. Listen.
That's all I'm going to be thinking about.
All right. Well, don't think about that anymore.
I can't help myself.
You know, here's something that'll put you off your game, and if you're thinking about that, Deathstroke.
Oh!
That's what you don't want to do.
No.
Have a Deathstroke.
No, I don't.
No.
Okay.
Deathstroke number two.
Hey, well, while we're on that, by the way, I forgot to mention, because it reminded me of it when I said, hey,
what's
Frank
that?
Cho does this cover.
Yeah.
But on all these DC mainline titles of the Rebirth, they all have multiple covers.
Yeah.
I think that All-Star Batman that you mentioned
has five.
Four or five.
I think it was five this week, yeah.
And definitely the Wonder Woman has two. And so it's cool. You go into your local comic book shop.
Yeah.
And you can pick the cover that you like.
That's right.
Or, I mean, heaven forbid, you pick up both.
Why not? Oh. Why not? Yeah. Yeah.
Hey,
why
live
not?
A little.
Live a little. Yeah. So, listen. So then now they've got. So part of this whole DC Universe rebirth here, we've got Deathstroke number two.
Mm-hmm.
And this is by Christopher Priest, I believe his name is. Hold on, let me just find that.
Chris. By Chris.
Chris, does he go by Chris?
No.
Okay, hold on. I'm all discombobulated talking about Wonder Woman and all that. Anyways, it's by Christopher Priest, and I think it's Larry Hama. Why can't I find this
anywhere? You know what? You were going to just say John Romita Jr.
John Romita Jr., yeah. Yes, but this isn't by John Romita Jr.
Well, we can just say it.
There you go. This is why I don't know. It just says Priest.
Priest.
Yeah. Larry
Hear
Hama.
The priest.
Larry Hama and Carlos Bengulian and Jason Paz does the inks. Listen, I'm not a huge Deathstroke fan, but this is a very interesting story.
Now, Deathstroke is the guy played in the the Suicide Squad movie by Bill Smith.
That's Deadshot.
Oh, Deadshot.
Deathstroke was actually played a prominent role in the TV show Arrow.
You know what? Keep talking. I'll just keep going.
All right, on this side. It's okay. I know you know something about comics.
Uh-huh.
You know what? Listen, let's move on to something I know you know lots about: cartoons.
Thanks.
Scooby Apocalypse. Now, DC has done something very interesting. Now, we're up to issue number five, so we may have missed a few issues.
Uh-huh.
But DC has gone back to the well with all those old Hanna-Barbera cartoons,
mm-hmm.
and they've decided to sort of revamp them and update them for a modern times.
Right.
And they're now publishing a bunch of them in comic book form.
Uh-huh.
And so we've got, for example, this one's Scooby Apocalypse. So they've got, they're kind of like high-tech ghost hunters, and they have, you know, all the high-tech gear. They've got
Who are you going to call?
Exactly.
Scooby,
yeah, they hunt demons and ghosts, and you know some of them have tattoos, and
right.
so it's a little bit more modern and updated.
Does Velma have a tattoo, Chris?
You have to read the story to find that out.
Okay, Scooby Apocalypse number five from DC Comics, available at your local comic book shop.
All right. I know we're getting running out of time here.
No, we're not.
Okay. Well, I'm just next up I want to talk about is Old Man Logan.
Old Man Logan.
Now, this is, of course, done by our good friend Jeff Lemire.
Jeff Lemire.
As the writer, artist is Andrea Sorrentino.
Did you read that? Sorry, Chris, to go off on a tangent.
That's all right.
Jeff Lemire and Gord Downey.
Yeah, I read about that.
They did a project on a graphic novel.
Yes.
And we're trying to source that. Apparently, it's not available through your local comic book shops. It's for them. Apparently, it's not available through their regular.
It's kind
channel.
Of more of a prose graphic novel, right?
Yeah, it's like a book, and I think they have to go through a book distributor. Opposed through, you know, Diamond, which is the comic book.
It's all about that boy who walked off.
Yeah,
and then yeah. I know. I read about it myself. Yeah. Interesting story.
So cool.
But it's for those of you who are tragically hip fans.
Uh-huh.
Of course, Gord Downey is the lead singer for the Hip, and he helped to bring this story to light
right.
to Jeff Lemire, and they worked on it and they collaborated on it together.
Wonderful.
But that's not what we're talking about today.
We're not.
We're talking about Old Man Logan.
Old Man Logan.
Old Man Logan.
Which Jeff Lemire is involved in.
Which is with Jeff Lemire. Hey, you know what? Jeff Lemire and... sorry.
It's deja vu.
Deja vu.
All over again.
Old Man Logan, going on right now, really... neat looking book. I don't know how to describe it.
You know what that is, Chris?
It's a good looking book. But look, just look at the art. The art is very cool.
Oh.
This is a storyline called The Last Ronin.
That's good looking
art. I would have to say that if you're going to pick up an Old Man Logan book, uh-huh. this is the storyline to pick up.
I love it. Little Greg Landy in the backscapes.
Yeah.
And I like that. It's really nice.
Little Jay Lee. Like, it's got a little bit of everything there for you.
Old Man Logan, number 11, at your local comic book shop today. Yep.
Then I got Deadpool number 18. Just one more. We talked a lot earlier. All right. One more after this one. Deadpool number 18. This, of course, tries to kind of tie in to the Civil War II storyline that's going on right now, in only the way that Deadpool would be able to do it. And of course, it brings in his demon bride. And he's getting.
Chris, we all know about that, don't we?
I don't know what you're talking about.
I have no idea.
No. I love my wife.
So do I. I mean, my wife.
Stop it.
You're killing me. Hey, listen, I got a question for you.
Yeah, what's the question?
This Civil War thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you see the movie?
Yes.
That happened this summer sometime?
That happened last May, yeah.
Last May?
Yeah.
Were we doing shows last May?
Maybe.
Probably talked about it. Never mind.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So well, was it a good movie?
It was a good, very good movie. Yeah. It actually just came out on video today. No, yesterday.
So it'll be available like through your local cable provider?
Cable provider, yep. You can go and buy it, or you can go and rent it, or stream it, or whatever
you're
doing.
I don't like taking it off the internet.
I like to buy them too.
Yeah. I mean, rent it, like $5, $6.
I buy them. Okay. I actually spend the money on them. Hey, but you know what's interesting? So this is Civil War II, so it has nothing to do with the movie that just came out yesterday.
Oh, it doesn't?
No.
So why am I asking you these questions? I'm
asking myself that same question.
Mm-hmm. Now we're getting somewhere, Chris. Here's the thing. Here's the thing. Okay, Deadpool number 18. Great tie-in to the Civil War movie, apparently.
Apparently.
At your local comic book shop today. Okay.
Are you done?
Yeah.
Okay, lastly, but certainly not leastly, I really want to talk about SpongeBob Comics number 60.
Mm.
It's a sort of a milestone, 60 issues now.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting book. I liked it. It's fun, great for kids.
Yeah, I think, you know, probably... When did SpongeBob come out? Is he more than 20 years old? No.
No.
New millennium?
I would say, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I would say then that Patrick is the greatest fictional character creation in the new millennium.
Greatest? Wow, that's quite a saying.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because if great... means that it can make you laugh.
Yep.
Then he's great.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
SpongeBob number 60 is available at your local comic book shop, as are a whole bunch of other new comics. So please check into your local comic book shop and peruse the new this week.
All right, let's continue. Let's have a little bit of a musical interlude here, and of course that was Krantz. That we started with, and so we're going to continue off with a little more Krantz, as long as you're okay with that.
Yes, yes. Now, Chris, I know we have a lot of new listeners because CFMU does a great job of promoting our show to new listeners. They basically lock kids in a room. People should know we play a lot of Krantz.
We do play a lot of Krantz.
And there's a lot of people that don't know what the hell we're talking about when we say Krantz.
When we say Krantz.
Yeah.
We were referring to, in the 1960s, there was a Spider-Man cartoon that was produced by Krantz.
Yeah, and everybody, of course, knows
Productions.
The one. Bam, 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 bam,
right, right. Spider-Man. Well, yeah, let me bring that up.
Hold on, hold on. We don't have it. By the time you find it,
no, it'll take me 2 seconds.
Okay, I'll talk. Okay, so everybody knows it from this song.
Right,
right.
And they know it from this one.
Right. All right, so right before the girl starts singing, that was some kick-ass music.
Right, absolutely.
So this band, this jazz band that they went up the street, because it's all New York, you know, and they probably found some utter work jazz band, probably guys on the corner going, hey, man, you know what, the bebop ain't what it used to be.
Ain't what it used to be.
So they got these guys in the studio, and they did all the mood music, all the theme music, all the background music to that whole Spider-Man cartoon.
Right, right, right. And it is hard to find, but I tried. I think I have almost all the songs.
Right.
There's got to be about 40 different songs that accompanied that show back in the day.
Absolutely fantastic. And we just fell in love with it. We as a show, basically, that's, you know, that's the soundtrack of our show.
Exactly. Really. That's right.
So,
yeah.
And I think, remember our good friend Steve, from Toronto.
Yeah, from...
Comics Asylum.
Comics Asylum, yeah.
He's
always asking for it.
Yeah, you know what? I think he got us some information. I think he was said he was going to add some more...
But he never got up off it. No.
You know what? He's a lot of talk.
Yeah, a lot of talk. And if Steve, if you're listening, a lot of talk.
Anyway, that's what Krantz is. That's what we love here. You might hear some more over the year.
All right. Listen, let's... I know we got lots to talk about because we haven't been around for 4 months. However, one of the things I think we absolutely need to talk about is the Fan Expo that just occurred at the end of August, beginning of September. I think it was September 2nd.
God, yeah.
Right?
That was a behemoth.
It was huge.
That was
just
a monster.
Enormous.
That was, I think, the biggest Fan Expo to date. I don't have the final tally
how many people all
but,
went there.
We have a large booth. We set up as Big B. We have a great booth kind of right in the middle of the floor. And it's a large booth.
Yep.
So we get pretty good pulse of the show.
Yeah.
And, I mean, all 4 days, super busy.
Yeah.
The enthusiasm in the room was fantastic.
Oh, it was huge. You know, I was only there for the Friday. Mm-hmm. And it seemed to me to be packed all day long.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was huge. And I didn't get a chance to go Saturday, but I know that Saturday is generally a even more busy day than Friday, and I can't imagine how busy that would have been.
Yeah,
it was wall to wall.
Now, if you know Toronto and the convention centers down there, they have the really large North Metro Convention Center up on Front Street, and then they have the South down on Bremner, whatever
it is.
And that show does both.
Yes.
And so it's just like chaos.
Do you remember when it used to be one big room and you think that was big?
Yeah.
And then now it's two enormous rooms.
And then never mind the sublevels with all the panels.
All the panels and everything. Yeah.
That was Stan Lee's supposed last Canadian appearance.
Now, hold on. Why are you saying supposed last?
Well, only because, Chris, only because it was 1982.
Okay.
I'm an 18-year-old kid.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm loving my rock and roll, and I got all jacked to go on the TV because it was The Who's final tour.
Right.
And I watched it because I liked The Who back then.
Yeah, yeah,
and it was The Who's final tour.
Yeah.
I go, man, this is going to be the last chance I get to see these
never
guys,
gonna, never going to see it again.
Right?
Yeah.
So me and my bros, we got together.
Yeah.
We bought some... Coca-Cola.
Yeah, I'm sure it was,
And we sat and we watched the show. We got the air guitars
out.
We did our Pete Townsend windmills.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was fantastic.
Yeah.
And then, by the way, like back in this summer, I went to see The Who.
Oh, did you really? Yeah. Oh.
Just kidding. But the point is, they've had 72 other
last show tours. Yeah.
So.
I don't know, but back then, The Who wasn't 94 years old. Right? Stan's like 94.
Yeah, so.
So he may not want to come.
Specimen. He's a,
just saying.
What?
He might not.
George Burns was booked through 101.
George Burns.
He had great one-liners.
Oh, dear. Okay, listen. Fan Expo, what was the key point of that show that you noticed?
You know what? People There's strains. It's such a conglomp of people coming through.
Yeah.
You have your niches and your sections. You have, you know, that group that comes to our booth because we're known as a vintage comic book.
Right, dealer, right,
stuff
right.
from the 50s and 60s and 70s. And we did well there because we brought half-decent stuff.
Yeah.
But there was, I think, more volume-wise in terms of people coming through the door. They just wanted to partake, right?
They just wanted
our graphic novel section was busier than ever.
Right.
Because we brought a lot of selection. We brought new stuff. And it was just like, honestly, it was busier than the old, we call it Old Man Alley, where like I work. Where we're peddling old comics, right? And the graphic novel section was the place where families, young people, they go, oh, you know what Batman story should I read? What Deadpool story is great? What Harley Quinn story is great?
And then
our staff are fantastic, and they did an amazing job on just helping people find something enjoyable to read.
Right.
And that was beautiful to see, because really that's the health of the industry, right?
That's where
we, you know, you'd like to see that more than some guy dickering with me to, you know, come down off of a price on an old Spider.
Right. Yeah.
So that was beautiful to see. I really liked that.
Yeah. I really liked the diversity of the show this year. I like there's so much different things to see.
Yeah.
You know, like in the it seems like that almost all the entertainment guests were all over on one side of the show.
Yeah. And then you had Bill Shatner there.
Bill Shatner was there. Stan Lee was there, as you know. A bunch of like Gillian Anderson was there.
You know who I thought was cool.
Yep.
There, I would have loved, out of all of them. I mean, just, I guess you're used to Shatner and Lee, but Margaret Atwood was there.
Yeah, that was strange.
And she was, and the beautiful part about, and this is the great part, and I'm not, don't get me wrong, these people like Stan Lee and Bill Shatner, and those guys are great for the industry and stuff, and but they have their, you have to pay for stuff.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And I think Margaret Atwood, because she's an author.
Right.
Right? She had her graphic novel, and after her one-hour panel, she did an autograph session.
Nice.
I'm pretty sure she didn't charge.
Probably not.
Right,
no,
because she comes from a different school.
Right, she comes
from a different world.
But you know what? So Margaret Atwood was there with a graphic novel, which is amazing that she's even doing a graphic novel.
Well, I mean, she obviously respects the art form enough to participate in it.
And it's so funny because people are like, who's Margaret Atwood? And I would say,
you want to choke them?
You want to choke them, but also you want to say, like, did you ever read anything in high school? Like, because that's where you read all that stuff, right?
Didn't you ever read To Kill a Mockingbird? Did Margaret Atwood write that one? No.
This thing on. Hello.
But her sister did.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Uh-huh. But no, like, you know, but speaking of charging, apparently Frank Miller was not charging for autographs.
Fantastic.
So apparently, I don't know about other people. I just know that he was not charging, and he was a big headliner there.
Yes. Frank Miller. We forgot about Frank Miller.
Frank Miller was there. Oh, Joe Quesada was there.
Joe Quesada. But by the way, at our booth, at the old comic booth.
Yeah.
And at the graphic novel booth, the demand for Frank Miller stuff.
Oh, I bet.
To go get it signed.
Yeah, I bet.
Was
huge.
Incredible.
I bet.
Absolutely incredible. I think the number one book, a vintage comic book that was demanded by fans to ask for, maybe it's high.
Yep.
It was The Dark Knight Volume 1, like the first one.
Dark Knight Returns,
And that first blue cover.
Yep. Yeah.
And it was Daredevil 168.
Oh, nice.
With the first Elektra.
Yep. Right? Yep. Nice.
And those two, we sold out.
Oh, I'm not surprised.
I think we brought a lot. I think we brought two or three copies of each, but they're not cheap comics.
Okay.
That's my point.
I have to bring this up now because I don't know where else to bring it up. We're talking about Frank Miller.
Uh-huh.
Have you looked at any of the new Dark Knight, The Master Race?
I haven't read the DK3.
Okay, DK3. So I've been reading it.
Yeah.
And so the storyline is sort of set up so that Brian Azzarello and Frank Miller did the story, wrote the story, and then one of the Kubrits does the art. And then there's always a backup story that Frank Miller does the art and the story for it.
Right.
Man. His art is hard to look at.
Right.
Really hard to look at sometimes.
The man's in a hurry.
I hope so. I hope that's what it is.
No, you know what I think it is? I'm going to tell you what it is. It's stylized. He's gravitated to a different plane than you and me, Chris. He is above us now.
I had a conversation with some of my friends, and one of them said he draws like a 10-year-old. I wasn't too sure if it was Quasimodo I was looking at or Robin. Yeah,
I hear you.
You know, it's just
again. I think he's elevated to a different plane.
Okay, let's call it that.
Okay,
let's call it that.
All right. Anyway, it was a great show.
Yeah.
So your final impression on it?
Love the show. Yeah. If I had one complaint, okay, we each do one thing. One complaint. If I had one complaint, Artist Alley is way too cramped. They put the tables way too close together.
Yep.
And it's unapproachable.
Yeah. Yeah, my complaint too was I ventured into Artist Alley to see my good friend Richard Cumley, creator of Captain Canuck, because he was in Artist Alley this year. Usually signs at our booth, but they put him in Artist Alley this year, and it's hard to move down there.
Yeah, it's too hard to move.
You know what? My complaint is a self-induced one. Is I gotta check the con out.
Yeah,
more.
You gotta get out more.
Yeah,
yeah. You need to get out more.
Yeah.
In general,
I know. But it was busy, and I didn't get out as much as I'd like to be. I'd like to. And, you know, above and beyond just the recreational part of getting out, it's also, you know, good, you know, just to take everything in.
Sure.
You know, as a business person, just to see what's going on.
All right, let's before we go to a musical interlude, I want to, because we're talking about cons.
Yeah.
We've got to talk about the con that's coming up in Hamilton not too long away.
Yeah,
not too far away. I can talk, really, I can. It's coming up soon.
Yeah. Coming to a town near you, Hamilton, the Hamilton Comic Con, I think it's, don't correct me if I'm wrong. Hey, Chris, I think it's October 1st and 2nd.
October 1st and 2nd. Okay, so hold on. So I know that at that show, at the Hamilton Comic Con, which we're thinking is going to be October 1st and 2nd, some of the guests that they're now saying is going to be there includes Corey Feldman, David Prowse, and that's where it gets a little. After that, I'm like, okay, Corey Feldman was in, like, you know, Goonies.
Yeah.
You know, David Prowse, he played Darth Vader. Then I'm, you know, okay, this Jason David Frank was one of the, what do you call it, Power Rangers.
Yeah.
Then
Catherine
Bach was Daisy Duke. Mm-hmm. But then you got Bret Hart, which I guess is a, you know, legendary wrestler.
Yeah.
George Wendt. Who was in Cheers.
Yeah. I think what they had, George was at the Niagara Con.
Right, okay? Right.
And I remember, which was back in June, and I remember they had a thing.
You could have.
Here's the thing. You can have a pint with George Wendt.
Drink a beer with George Wendt,
right, with Norm.
Yeah.
And then basically, I think you have to pay like $40 for the pint or something like
that.
Yeah,
I think
you're
right.
But you get to keep the glass or something like that.
Oh, they're doing that here. Beers with Norm.
Oh, perfect.
Yep, beers with Norm.
So they're trying that again. I guess that was a success in Niagara.
Yep.
And so that's cool. I mean, I like that. And why not?
Okay, but hold on. So
hold
my problem, okay, we have confirmed that it is in fact October 1st and 2nd.
Mm-hmm. It's a new venue at the Canadian War Plane Heritage Museum.
And thank goodness they've moved it out of the Hamilton Convention Center.
Right.
Okay, but my problem is this.
You have more than one problem.
I know. My problem with the show.
Okay, right.
Is this. Where's the comic book stuff?
Yeah.
Like, nowhere in this flyer, in a really tiny, tiny prints here, they've got Bob Camp, who worked on Ren and Stimpy, so it's sort of an animated thing.
Yeah.
Phil Ortiz, who does the Simpsons comics, so that's good.
Yeah.
Tom Cook, who worked on Masters of the Universe, the cartoon again.
Yeah.
And Mike Toth, who worked on Disney cartoons.
Yeah.
So, of the three of the four worked on animated series, one guy works on actual comic book stuff.
Yeah, I know.
Where's the rest of the comic book stuff going on here?
But you know what? Each of these cons, they take on a different personality, and I guess, I don't know. I guess these guys are going with more of
Of a
pop culture thing,
right?
Which even Fan Expo was moving towards, even though they went to the wall.
Yeah, I know,
comic
but
book guests. You're right.
Yeah,
you're right.
It's
we'll let this show grow, I think, and hopefully they can expand on the comic thing. Because I remember talking to the promoters about this last year, it's hard for these small town shows, and really Hamilton is a small town show.
Right.
Because there's so many shows.
Right, there is.
And guys like, you know, whoever, Cho and Lee and these guys, they concentrate on C2E2, Comic Con, Fan Expo, New York.
Right.
And it's like, you know, hey, Dayton, Ohio's doing a show. Yeah, I'm busy. You know, Hamilton, Ontario's doing a show. Yeah, I'm busy. It's hard to get guys to come. So.
But the problem is.
You know what they don't have here, and they'll have it on the website, I'm sure, is they'll have. Have a lot of comic artists there.
I've been on the website and I haven't seen anybody.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll look into that because
Like they're not even announcing the local guys that normally come to these shows.
Yeah, like guys like Lashley,
Ken Lashley, or
Greg Hyland, or guys like
Leonard Kirk,
and you know, like good comic guys, right?
Great comic guys. Yeah. Anyways, disappointing that they're not pushing more comics at the Comic Con. Right.
Noted. And duly noted. Promoters of Hamilton Comic Con, please note. One more thing, while at the cons, I got to plug my appearance. At the New York Comic
Con. You have an appearance?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, are we still... Are we still talking? Sorry. So, New York Comic Con.
See what you've done to me? New York Comic Con, which is the week after the Niagara Comic Con. Sorry, the Hamilton Comic Con. So, that's going to be the 6th through 9th, I believe. Is down in Manhattan at the Javits Center. And I'll be setting up there with my ICE.
Now, you're not setting up there as a dealer. But you're not selling.
No,
books,
we're setting
per
up
se.
as a comic book marketplace.
Right, because you have a website called ICE.
Yeah, International Comic Exchange.
Right, and
which
so
sells like high end. Graded comics for customers, basically. So if you have a comic, I don't know, worth $1,000,
right?
You give it to me. I do all the promotion. I do the posting.
But they have to be graded comics.
Graded, yeah.
Right.
Like
so graded. I have a CGC graded comic. Yeah. Let's say it's Hulk 181.
Yeah.
It's first appearance of Wolverine.
Yeah.
And I think it's worth $4,000.
Yeah.
So I give it to you to sell for $4,000.
That's right. Yeah.
And so then you take a commission.
$2,000 of that. No. We take a 10% commission on all sales.
Oh, okay.
We do all the work, right?
Okay, that's
and
fair.
So,
that's fair.
And that's what we're going down there to promote.
So it's not an auction; it's just a sales site.
It's just a sales site.
Now, do you have any say as to what these books sell for? Like, let's say I go on and I'm like, hey, you know what? I've got a first appearance of I don't know, Pool Boy number one.
First appearance of Cherry number one.
Yeah, and I think it's worth
Pool Boy. Remember that movie?
I think it's worth $10,000. So I'm going to put it up there for $10,000.
Wasn't Ron Jeremy starring that one?
I wouldn't know.
I can't remember.
I don't know.
Sorry. Oh, yeah. So, no. I think he was in part two.
Right.
He was the boss. So the way the site works is this. So we analyze, we take each book. So if you have a Hulk 181.
Okay. But I'm trying to think of a book that's nobody cares about.
Okay, but hold on. If you have a Hulk 181 that's like an 8 out of 10.
Right.
And there are, you know, 17 recorded sales of 8 out of 10 over the last 6 months. There's 10 recorded sales of a 7.5 out of 10. There's 14 recorded sales of an 8.5 out of 10. And all those things, let's say the 8s sell within a range of $1,800 to $2,100.
Right.
And you come to me and say, well, list it at $29.99.
Right.
I'll go, Chris, I can't.
Right.
I'm wasting my time. I'm wasting your time.
Okay, that's fair.
You know, put it up on eBay where they have that little window that says, make me an offer.
Right.
And then just dicker back and forth with the guy for 17 days.
Yeah.
Dicker back and forth with 32 guys for 17 days.
Yeah,
right?
Until you get the $2,100.
Right, maybe, whatever.
Yeah.
So we will say, hey, listen, this is the trading range. If you want to sell it, you know, we may go a little bit above it in the north end of it if it's trending upwards.
Yeah.
You know, we may recommend that.
Yep.
But let's say you had a Detective Comics number 11.
Right.
That there hasn't been a sale since 2013 of your 4.0.
Right, right.
And that sale was $800.
Yeah.
And you came to me and says, well, list 2,000 on it.
Yeah.
No problem.
Okay.
Right.
All right, that's fair.
So that's
fair.
Basically the philosophy.
Okay, that's fair. All right. Are you done yet?
I am.
Can I play some
Crants?
That's
iComicExchange.com.
All right. Okay. And if you're going down to the New York Comic Con, check Walt and his lackey, Shecky, there.
Right on.
All right. Let's go with this one here. Hold on. It's loading up. Wait. Wait, having a problem. Technical
difficulty. Stop.
No. Do you want me to press stop?
Yeah, I can't. Stop.
It hasn't even started.
Okay. Did you press stop?
Yeah, now I've pressed stop.
Okay, because that portion that we just talked about.
Oh, yes.
Was brought to you by Comic One Comics in Stony Creek.
Oh, well, that's.
Paulo, Casey,
and Bob. Yeah. Okay.
Sponsored that bit.
Oh, that's very nice. Okay. Thanks, guys. Can I press play
now?
Yeah,
go ahead.
Okay.
I was trying to buy you time. Is called Damn, I Forgot My Keys.
I thought that sounded more like the love theme to Conan or something.
The love theme to Conan. Yeah. Nice.
All right, listen.
Sets the mood. All right.
All right.
All right.
Let's talk about Alan Moore.
Yeah, so our next segment of comic culture news. So
yes.
What are we in now?
We're in industry news.
Man,
comic culture.
We're rusty.
I know we are rusty. That is true.
Yeah. Brought to you by Comic One Comics in Stony Creek. Industry news. Alan Moore announces retirement from comics, Chris.
For the third time.
See?
Yeah.
See?
Yeah, I know.
I say him and Stan Lee are at Fan Expo next year. That's what I say.
So Alan Moore has decided to retire from comics again.
Done. Over.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Legendary writer. Of course, he's known for many things, such as V for Vendetta, Batman the Killing Joke, League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
What's your favorite
Alan Moore story?
Alan Moore story. Thanks for finishing that.
Probably Killing Joke.
Yeah.
I did like Watchmen. I did like V for Vendetta.
Yep.
League of Extraordinary Gentlemen was so interesting.
Yes.
You know, but, see, I don't put Alan Moore up on the pedestal like other people do.
Uh-huh.
I find he's amazing at telling great stories.
Yep.
But I've yet to see what he's actually come up with anything that's truly original as far as characters from himself.
Right.
Because he's very good at taking other people's characters and reworking them.
Right.
Or even other ideas, like, you know, things like he did for ABC Comics with Tom Strong and Promethea. They're all sort of variations of characters that we already know about.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, League of Extraordinary Gentlemen is a bunch of old literary characters that we already know about. So he's great at doing that kind of stuff. As far as a truly original character, I don't know about that. But anyways,
his wife had a few.
No,
she did that porn book. Truly original.
Oh, that was Lost Girls.
Lost Girls.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'd have to agree with you for pure comic stuff.
Yep.
I love Vendetta, but I think I like the Killing Joke.
Killing Joke's probably my favorite. He's doing a book right now that I'm really enjoying called Providence, where he's taking, and this is a book that I'm actually really enjoying, and this is where he's taken the works of H.P. Lovecraft, and he's taken the stories and sort of given a third, sort of like a bird's eye view, like a third person view of some of the characters from those stories, and sort of written them in a different sort of way. Like they're kind of like a news reporter that goes on finding out stories about different places, and he visits these locations and ideas that H.P. Lovecraft had.
Right.
So,
right.
But if you don't know H.P. Lovecraft, these stories won't make any sense to you whatsoever.
Right.
But really awesome artwork by Jason Burroughs in that book as well. But yeah, I love that stuff. He just recently published a book called Jerusalem as well, which is.
But that was a book, right? That was a textbook.
That was his first novel.
Isn't he writing? Somebody told me he's writing some sort of million.
Yeah.
Million word book.
I don't know about that. Uh-huh. I read that somewhere too, where it's, he wanted to write a million pages or a million words or something like that. I don't know if that's ever going to come out. But anyways.
Well, I mean, if
so, well, here's the thing. So here's
the thing.
He did say he did leave the door open at some point because he in quotes, it says here, after that, although I may do the odd little comics piece at some point, I'm pretty much done with comics. So he has said that a few times in the past. He said that before with Wildstorm, before with ABC Comics, you know, where he was done with comics. After he finished From Hell, he said that. Like, there's all kinds of reasons when he said that before.
I think Alan Moore should do fairy tale adaptations, because
not again. He already did that once with Lost Girls.
I think he should cry wolf one too many times.
Anyway. See what she did there?
Uh-huh.
See what she did?
And anyway, so Alan Moore, celebrated career.
Yep.
It would be a shame if he didn't add in his little flavors every now and then.
Yeah, yeah. You know, yeah, people like it. I agree.
It's something for the local comic book shop. Like, it's always cool to have that new Alan Moore project coming out, right? There's a little bit of buzz around it. There's, you know, it's a good thing when Alan Moore takes on a project for a comic book shop.
He's doing Cinema Purgatorio right now, which is sort of an anthology horror comic kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
So he is working with Kevin O'Neill on that book as part of a, like, he's in that book as well as other guys like Christos Gage, and I think there's a Garth Ennis story.
Right.
There's a lot of and again, you know, I read it and I don't think it's all that good. People may yell at me for saying that.
Well, they'll yell at you anyway.
Probably, yeah.
And let me ask you a question.
Yep.
Writers. I mean, I think, okay. When I think about you and your knowledge of comics, I think it's wide. I think it's deep.
Yeah.
I think, but I see you more as, you present yourself more as a fan of the artists.
Right. Right.
That's kind of your personality. That's the visual displays that you show. You like showing the artwork that you got over the years and stuff like that.
Yeah, I get it.
I guess it's hard showing the written word that you've gotten over the years.
Right.
But, you know, in terms of writers, it's kind of a weird question, but, you know, Frank Miller, Alan Moore, they're roughly of the same generation. They did their work in the mid-80s.
Yep.
Well, actually, Miller in the early, late 70s, in the early 80s, up to the mid-80s and stuff like that. Has there been a giant of their stature since? Or has there been a bunch of really, really good writers? And I'm going to go through Brubaker, Schneider, Azzarello, his name? Bendis. Just, you know, but none of them seem to have the stature of a Miller. None of them seem to have even the stature of a Moore.
I agree. I don't think anybody has really changed the face of comics since those,
like,
guys.
Those guys.
Right?
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of people that have tried. I think, you know, I think, you know, guys like Scott Snyder has done a fantastic job and will be well known for forever for his run on Batman.
I think he had it the toughest. I think the toughest route.
For sure.
Because if any character has left, has allowed a guy like Frank Miller or somebody to leave the imprint, it's been Batman, right?
Right.
And for him to tackle Batman as the vehicle to, you know, be considered one of the greatest writers of that character when all those great writers of that character have happened already.
Right.
Right. You know, it's like the next guy on Marvel to try to, you know, the hardest book to tackle on Marvel to make a name for yourself really is Daredevil.
Right. Because
you're measured against Brubaker.
That's
right. You're measured against Bendis.
Yep.
You're measured against Miller.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And it's like, oh my God, what I just do.
Yeah.
Better to write Power Man, right?
Yeah, exactly.
No, really.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Like Luke Cage or something like that, or Night Nurse.
See, I shouldn't say of anybody. I don't know very many people that will follow a writer the way they follow artists, right?
Right.
Like, some people will follow everything that Miller does, everything that Moore does, right? There are people that will do that, but I don't know of anybody that will say, I'm going to buy everything that Brubaker does.
Right.
Because they may only like his superhero stuff and might not like his crime noir stuff.
Okay. Let me ask you the next question, because you're a learned man in comics. You taught comics at a college level.
I did, as a matter of fact, yes.
Okay. So is it one or the other? Or like is Miller and Moore and Brubaker enough, or is it just the luck sometimes in the right combination of artist and writer?
I think it's sometimes it's the right combination. But you know what?
That can propel you past.
Yeah,
you know,
I think so.
Two mediocre guys, not to be too mediocre, but two 8 out of 10s
yep.
that their artist and writer can turn out a 9 out of 10 product.
Absolutely,
as opposed
sure.
to a 10 out of 10 writer
sure.
and a 5 out of 10 artist
yep.
will turn a 4 out of 10 product.
Right.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I agree.
You know what I'm trying to get
but
at.
But you know what? As we've been talking, I've been thinking about, so I would have to say that two other guys that really come close as far as the writing stature is up there
uh-huh.
are Neil Gaiman and Garth Ennis.
Garth Ennis?
Well, you know what? Garth Ennis has done a lot of non-superhero stuff that has really pushed the boundaries of comics that in ways that nobody else has ever done, right? You like it or not, Crossed, a book that was uh-huh. really gory and graphic,
yeah.
has really come up with some themes
uh-huh.
that nobody has ever done. Preacher has come up with themes that nobody has ever done before, right?
Right.
So I want, in that sense, I think those guys are really coming close.
Right.
And,
but
you know,
because they're in such an adult-themed book, they don't get the...
Right,
the,
they don't get that attention. Sandman, as great as it is, it's kind of out there.
Yeah,
you know, I remember my friends of mine
drop acid or something.
Yeah,
before you
yeah.
start reading it.
People ask me what's Sandman about. Well, it's about these characters called the Endless, and there's baby dragons, and
yeah.
you know, like you start talking about it, people want to put a put you to sleep.
That's right, or put themselves to sleep.
Yeah, so
right, cool.
It's very, very hard to talk about. Listen, let's have one more quick musical interlude.
All right.
And then we're going to get back and talk a little bit about more, I don't know, let's talk about more comic stuff.
Right on.
Hold on 1 second here.
All right, Chris. So, how about them Jays?
Here we go.
Sweet sound, Krantz. Hey, listen, we have to plug in as well. Show wardrobe and show beverages were provided by Comic One and Stony Creek.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
They haven't got the bill yet. But,
No.
But so we thank them. And
they do really good work down there.
They do good work.
They do good work, yeah. Have you ever been to their store?
You kidding me? I wouldn't get caught dead.
Yeah, I don't blame you, yeah.
Of course I've been down to their store. They run a great shop. Hey, and their passion for comics comes through.
Absolutely,
that's
yes.
the main thing. So let's continue with industry news. Let's talk about Black Lightning.
Black Lightning.
Now, I think we've talked about it before over the years.
Yeah.
When I think about Black Lightning,
yeah.
I think about the Sinbad skit on Saturday Night Live.
I don't remember that one.
Okay, you know Sinbad, the comedian.
Sure.
Yeah, so it's the Death of Superman, 1994,
whatever. Yeah.
Death of Superman, so they did this. Sinbad was the guest on Saturday Night Live.
Okay.
And it was I'm gonna put the link on to the podcast on Comic Book Daily.
Okay, yeah.
Put the Sinbad link on there. So it's the funeral.
Right.
So you have Jimmy Olsen, you have Superman, Wonder Woman, everybody. They're all like
not Superman.
Sorry.
He'd be dead.
Batman.
Yeah, yeah.
Green Lantern,
yeah.
Flash, Wonder Woman.
Aquaman.
They're all there.
Yeah.
So they're all coming in to the speech because the casket is there, you know.
Right,
at the funeral
hall. Yep, yep.
And so Aquaman walks in and he's bringing, of course, the shrimp tray. So and then Black Lightning tries to come in, but the guy at the door goes, wait a minute, who are you? Goes, hey man, like I'm Black Lightning. Like, I was in a couple episodes with Batman, and he's, like, screaming to Batman, who's up at the pulpit.
Yeah.
And the guy with the pen, you know, receiving guests, he looks at Batman, and Batman gives him the nod, like, no, I don't know that guy. Like, no. Hey, sorry, buddy, you can't get in here. Like you know, you got no respect.
Never got a dinner.
Right, Black Lightning never got a dinner.
Yeah.
So, hey, he's getting a dinner.
He's getting his dinner.
Homeboy getting paid.
That's right. He's getting his dinner. Looks like Black Lightning is getting a pilot at Fox. It looks like this project is being produced by Greg Berlanti, who's successfully had three other superhero shows: Arrow, Flash, and Supergirl.
Yeah, Supergirl. Hey, let me ask you a question.
Yeah,
I've never watched Arrow.
I love it.
I've worn a couple of their shirts.
Oh, good for you.
I've never watched Flash.
Yeah.
I didn't know where to go with that one.
although you've been that,
yeah.
Been a Flash few times.
And I've never watched Supergirl, but I have watched Supergirl.
Right.
So my question is, do they cross-pollinate their shows? Like, do they?
So, yes, they do. Yeah. Yes. So not a whole lot.
They're creating a little multi-universe?
Yes.
So will this Black Lightning cross-pollinate with these other three shows?
And, possibly.
And become like a Hell's Kitchen type Marvel thing?
The problem is that this is being done on Fox, whereas the other ones were done by Warner Brothers, WB.
Wow.
So it's possible, but I would say probably not.
You know what? I didn't catch the different channels.
Yeah, this series actually is being done on the same channel that does Gotham and Lucifer.
Okay.
So there may be some cross...
With Gotham.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know when they're putting Lucifer, like Black Lightning, what kind of timeline they're doing for that.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
But it's possible. Now, people are probably wondering who Black Lightning is. So, well, Black Lightning was one of the first African-American superheroes for DC.
Uh-huh.
It was created by Tony Isabella and Trevor Von Eden in 1977. So, and basically, the idea is that he has the power of lightning.
Uh-huh.
Right? So, uh-huh. that's the best way of describing it.
And I think DC was behind in terms of the African-American superheroes. This was 1977, I think. And,
right.
Above and beyond some Kirby Fourth World Black characters and stuff, really, you know, Marvel had, by that time, they had prominent presence with Black Panther, presence with Falcon, prominent presence with Luke Cage, Black Goliath was big then. Like, they were all before Black Lightning. DC was kind of, obviously... The demographics of the reading public were changing over that time, and Marvel was much closer to the pulse
absolutely.
Of what people were reading wanted to read.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, we got time for what?
For sure. One more quick storyline here, or topic rather, I should say.
Okay. We don't have time to go into the hot properties, but...
Let's talk about the holiday shipments.
Yeah, so this was cool. So I read this and kind of... I put two and two together. I didn't put two and two together, but I kind of go, wait. So this Hanjin Shipping Company, I read on the CBC about this huge shipping company, and Korean shipping company.
Right.
There are all these family conglomerates over there.
Right.
Well, these guys are filing for bankruptcy, and they're like the fifth largest shipping company
in the world. Right.
Right. And they're obviously based out of Korea.
Right.
So Korea is like, you can throw a rock on Japan.
Right.
And then you can roll into China. All there. Right. So a lot of the products that come to the West that are manufactured in the Far East come through chains like Hanjin.
Sure.
The container ship.
Yep.
So this report was saying that geek products like games, comics, graphic novels, toys, and collectibles that are manufactured through Asia could potentially be affected by the bankruptcy.
Wow.
Capacity now, if they go under, all of a sudden, capacity has shrunk
because
they're the fifth, sixth largest.
Right.
So costs go up and queues happen to
get
your product onto other things.
Right.
So they're saying that... container shipping from China to the U.S. rose 50% in
a single day
last week.
Really?
So that equates to increased cost to customers waiting for
everybody.
Their
new
line of DC Direct toys.
Everything.
And heaven forbid, delays in shipment for comic shops that are right now queuing up their orders
for
Christmas and stuff like that.
Oh,
so we'll keep abreast of that story a little bit more.
Oh, wow.
And I think, are we running out of time?
Yeah, we've run out of time here.
All right. So, hey, Comic Culture is produced, engineered, directed by Chris Owen. Hopefully Shecky can...
And Walt's still here, too.
And I'm still here, too.
Yeah.
Hopefully Shecky can step in and fill a little bit of that role next week.
Perfect.
So, hey, we're on comicbookdaily.com, getthepointradio.com, here on 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio. And please visit your local comic book shop.
And have yourself a wonderful day.